This week on Myopia Movies, we watch a mulleted mediocre movie starring Chuck Norris called Missing in Action. Yes, there will be Chuck Norris jokes, and no, they still won't be funny. Thanks for doing what you do, thanks for listening, thanks for continuing to support Myopia, and bye guys.
This week on Myopia Movies, we thought we were going to get our white guy karate quotient filled, but we were sorely mistaken. We did 1984's Missing in Action, starring one Chuckford Norris. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman, and on panel we got
Matthew W. Quinn, who learned a bunch of new Chuck Norris facts tonight.
Nora Chanette, I was born in the 90s, didn't know this movie existed.
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely your generation, but for our generation, we definitely came across Chuck Norris first because of a terrible joke book. No, because of Walker, Texas Ranger, which is a show he did in his 50s, and he's still kicking ass because the man can kick.
50?
Yeah, because he was born in 1940. So if we're talking about shows from the 90s, he's in his 50s. But
he can kick.
The dude was just dry Walker, Texas Ranger, kicking ass. It's kind of like a renegade-esque show. Fine. Right. His movies, to me, came later. And then again in 2012 when they started doing The Expendables. I think it was in two or three.
Three.
But this is where he made his money, like doing karate movies, doing action movies. This is his top grossing film, I think. I mean, there's action, but we're missing it for a long time.
Very true.
Yeah, I went into this expecting a war movie. It's the middle third of it is functionally a karate movie.
I mean, well,
in Vietnam.
Right. I mean, what you expect in Platoon?
A little bit.
Yeah. Or Apocalypse Now with Chuck Norris.
Or something like, ooh, that would be a better movie.
And you know what? It wouldn't be 3 hours long.
I saw the second one years ago, and that one is more of a war movie.
If you replace Charlie Sheen with Chuck Norris for Apocalypse Now, I think it's a better movie.
I mean,
Chuck Norris would kill Kurtz and become the tribal people's god instead.
But think about the karate he would do. Remember?
Oh, yeah, dude,
like, yeah. Come on. That was
real. I don't know if like punching a good punch in the chest would do anything to Fat Marlon Brando. I think he's kind of like the Blob from X-Men, and he was just like, keep punching.
Let's do some war games. Sumo versus karate.
I mean, but here's the thing. I think it was Live and Let Die where we saw that. Anyway, Chuck Norris here does some fighting, but it's a lot of shooting for a guy known for his karate.
True.
He's using, like, at the end, he's like got that M80, or M80's a firework. But he's got this huge gun he's just shooting people with, something that would normally be mounted to the deck of a ship.
Yeah, the one when they think they killed him, and all the communist soldiers are cackling with glee, and then suddenly a slow-mo rises out of the river with a big machine gun and just shreds them.
I will... Oh, please.
Well, no, you told me this.
I did tell you that.
Maybe it could have been unnecessary, but the film, the Canon Studio, is it Canon Studio?
Yeah, Canon.
Just fucking just insane.
They're doing the Warner Brothers thing, right? Like, sure, we've technically made that Batgirl movie, but we need to write it off for tax reasons. Yeah. Oh, shit, it's the end of the year. Let's just throw everything we got. And I mentioned this to you before, but like, it was not an uncommon conspiracy theory kind of thing at the time that there were all these secret like POWs that were missing in action
right.
over there. And I mean, I've been to DC recently. They fly that POW MIA flag over every Capitol building now in DC. It was even at a local post office I saw. Like, that's just what they do. Like, so this stuff is in the ether. And, you know, so when he's doing these things, I don't know who went to see this movie because it did well financially, but right. You can't look at that. I imagine it was a lot of these guys in the 80s who were in like into that like Vietnam, like there's stuff they're not telling us about Vietnam.
Right.
Mindset.
War conspiracies. This
is very like pro-America, but not really the American government.
Right.
Like, we'll take care of ourselves kind of, you know, right-wing stuff. And we'll get to the last scene where he literally takes the rescued POWs into a press conference. And he's like, fuck you,
yeah,
Vietnam.
In Saigon, surrounded by communist soldiers. That was the dumbest thing. You take them
and
to
Senator.
You take them to Bangkok where they can't get you.
And in the
or maybe not. Maybe there are a couple hundred Vietnamese karate heavies hiding out in Bangkok waiting for you.
This movie's wild.
Dude, well, and also, we'll get there. Oh, no, I'll just say. This movie is based around a real event where John McCain and John Kerry went to Vietnam to negotiate the release of any remaining POWs. And I believe by that point there weren't any. But we do have this kind of senator who wants to really kiss the Vietnamese ass and make them happy.
John Kerry.
John, it's either John Kerry or John McCain.
They fucking did
probably be Kerry. John McCain is one they had in the tiger cage for 5 years.
That's very true.
But
unless there's some Stockholm syndrome going on here.
Oh, PTSD.
But that's what I guess it's supposed to be, right? Because they even say that this senator had someone that he knew who died in Vietnam, but he's like kissing at for business reasons or something, trade reasons. It's very vague. So, whatever. They're making fun of John Kerry, who was dual Pearl Heart war hero guy, and John McCain, who was POW war hero guy.
Mm.
So one of the two of them is making fun of this balding. Remember, if he's balding, that means he's a loser. But like he has the high hairline.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh God, you should be polite to the Vietnamese. Which I will say, Braddock is an asshole to everyone he meets in Vietnam. Which is, I mean, turns out he's right because he's an American. But it's very funny how he's just rude to everyone.
That's the American way.
It is.
Yeah.
It's Chuck Norris's way.
Yeah, the general or something who won't shake his hand, who sounds a lot like the Laotian neighbor from King of the Hill.
He does.
Then he brings in a bunch of people who claim Braddock committed war crimes, which I think that comes up in the second movie, that they made him sign a confession.
Yeah.
Which we see here.
Yeah,
we
see.
Yeah. Did he make that up on the fly just because Chuck Norris wouldn't shake his hand?
No. I mean, he even says that's why the other 10 members died, so... I imagine.
He was doing that in front of the senator's aide or something, who at some point Chuck Norris ends up in her bed.
Well, and we should also,
is he flexing?
Chuck Norris flexes all the time.
That's
so.
Kind of his thing. Also, I do just appreciate...
When Chuck Norris flexes, communist heads explode.
Absolutely. Yeah, we should mention, too, the head general, the guy whose name is General Tran, I think, is James Hong. Who's been in like kind of everything?
Was he Lo Pan in Big Trouble in Little China?
He was. He's also Gong Gong in Everything Everywhere All at Once. He's Mr. Ping in Kung Fu Panda. So, neither of you are looking.
Okay.
I want you to guess how many acting credits that man has. And again, he's
150.
I was about to say 108.
Oh, you guys are so far off.
Higher or lower?
So much higher.
288.
300. 456. Damn. Someone give him his flowers. Is he dead?
He's still alive.
He's still
Everything Everywhere All at Once came out like this year, didn't it? Or last year?
It's Best Picture nominee. It came out like 8 months ago as we were recording. But he just won, I think, a Lifetime Achievement Award.
He even got his star recently on the Hollywood, I'll say Walk of Shame.
Boulevard. But I mean, it's just James Hong is just this dude. He's like, when I started, I can only imagine what the Asian characters were. The guy's almost 100. He's like 95 years old.
Balls of Fury is actually my favorite movie of his.
He's great.
Yeah, he is great. He is a blind ping pong master.
But it's also just that, like, oh, you need me to do, like, 10 lines? I'll do it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, but
you want me to do an episode of Seinfeld? I'll do it.
It's like Danny Trejo. Like, yeah. He's just like, sure, I'll be in your movie. Like, the guy's probably in his mid-50s, 60s. He's probably been in 250,000 things. Like, because he's just like, he'll be in a scene where he embarrasses himself, and then he'll leave, the comedy. Like,
yeah.
But, yeah. God help me. I love James Hong, so the fact that he was the bad guy in this, I'm like, oh, he was just Asian guy at that point.
It's good to see him young.
Yeah. That movie was... Well, it's the same year I was born, so it's 37 years old. It's almost 40 years old.
We were born in 1984?
Well, 85, so I was wrong.
Yeah. I was 84.
The box set's in here somewhere.
No, I'll go off you. I mean, I improvised this whole show.
No.
Anyway, so let's get into this plot. Matt, can you give us a plot synopsis?
Okay, so Colonel...
I have been recording all this. This is
Chuck Norris plays a man named Colonel Braddock, who's a Vietnam vet who was held prisoner in some kind of secret prison that officially didn't exist before he managed to escape. That is covered in Missing Action 2. Yeah. And he is convinced that there are a bunch of prisoners who are still being held in Vietnam, even though this is the 80s.
Yeah.
So when he, after turning down the government's offer repeatedly to go to Vietnam many times, he comes along with them this time and ends up in a one-man rescue mission himself to break a bunch of guys out of Vietnamese prison camp.
As Chuck Norris does.
And he does a lot of martial arts in this movie.
Not. I will say, as someone who likes him in other things, he doesn't do as much martial arts as I thought. There's a lot of shooting and stabbing. He throws a lot of knives, which, again, totally fine. But like nowadays, Jean-Claude Van Damme is just doing splits in commercials.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is a stuntman in this movie. I saw it in the credits.
He worked briefly for Canon. Like,
that makes sense because they also did Bloodsport.
They did Bloodsport and they did some other incredible. Oh, God, there's one. I need to think of the name of it. But there's one where there's a nuclear bomb at the Stanley Cup Finals, and it's a Canon movie. And it's called, like, Dead Zone or something.
Ice Buck. Okay, so tell me, as I'm looking at this picture of Chuck Norris and denim...
you are.
Literally, none of it... It's a tucked-in denim, sleeveless shirt... No button is buttoned.
No.
What was the appeal of Chuck Norris?
At one point, he takes off his shirt in this movie, and he's got a pelt.
He's got a dad bod.
But what was
like Bigfoot?
Like, what would you equivalent?
That's a man with a hairy chest. You can pull your shirt.
He's got a hairy back.
What?
I don't.
What was the appeal of Chuck? Who would you? And I'll ask this in our other recording.
Guys who like movies.
Whoa. No, this is like a dad movie.
Okay, so like equivalent to 2023, the year of our Lord, what would a similar actor be our generation? Who's our generation's Chuck Norris, do you think?
Oh,
so I could,
that's
so
a great question.
So I can appease to it because, like, sure.
Larry the Cable. No,
John Cena?
John Cena? But Cena does
he's
more.
He's big.
Yes, but he does more family pictures. Chuck Norris never really did. Like, the problem is so much of that shit is like video on demand stuff.
Right.
Because, like, and the problem is, like, Republicans like him don't exist really anymore. Like, because, like, even like
Chuck Norris is a Republican.
No shit.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
He's not a Steven Seagal conservative where everything's a conspiracy.
Right.
Like, he's just like, government, don't do too much. Like, it's that kind of stuff. And like, that's okay. Why he was a Texas Ranger. Like, he wasn't a renegade fighting. He was the cop.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like,
no, I see what you're saying.
So
I think he found God hard after like a lifetime of debauchery. Now he's real religious.
And now, does he cuss in this movie?
No.
So you can blow people's shit heads off, chop them off, whatever. But God forbid he cusses.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's very like tight lips. It's fine.
If I get shot at, I'm gonna say fuck like a million times. Or, oh, shit.
Fiddle-dee-dee.
Well, he at one point in this movie is hung upside down by his wrist for a long, prolonged period. Being shot probably hurts less.
I mean, okay.
Still throw a fuck in there.
Yeah, he can swear all he wants. He's fine.
All his curse words were screamed out in the Vietnamese tiger cage long ago.
Even in number two, no cussing.
Yeah, no, I bet you it's a writer in his contract.
Mm.
And I wonder if it's not a thing where it's like the movies are... I was going to say violent, but there's not a lot of blood at times, which is weird.
Yeah, they must have run out of squibs.
Interesting enough, for Expendables 3, which he was in, that was the only rated PG-13 Expendables movie.
Oh.
He said he would not do the movie unless, if it was rated R. And I guess this is after he found God and did Texas. Well, obviously, it was like 2013, 14, whatever. And I just found that crazy. And now I'm seeing all these movies, you know, missing in action. A lot of blood, a lot of racial slurs in there. But it was the 80s. He fascinates me.
I mean, it's just, I put this in the best way possible. I like actors like him because they have interesting faces. He looks like a person. And like, They just don't hire people like that anymore. If he wasn't already Chuck Norris and he just wanted to be a strong old dude, he wouldn't have any lines. He'd be like the muscle, right? Like, because they just don't hire interesting looking people. Everyone has to look like an underwear model.
Well, or do they CGI all the problems off?
Fox News has their own streaming platform now. A lot of Kevin Costner narrated things. But I wouldn't be surprised if they would bring these types of movies back to that streaming platform. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is also like you put it on a Sunday afternoon when you got nothing else going on. You kind of half doze in and out.
Right. And like,
I mean, that's what Walker, Texas Ranger kind of is.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, people just want to see a white guy persevere. And through struggle and kick.
Could you imagine if a white guy made it in this world?
I can't imagine. No, but I mean, maybe like you said, it was the dads of the 80s. They just wanted to see some guy kick some people's asses.
Saying it like we think. Pow! Punch, punch.
Catharsis for the Vietnam War.
Okay, so
that might explain why so many people saw him.
Well, I mean, it's possible. And like I said, I think since Vietnam is one of those wars where the people turn against it very quickly and then the government was...
What year was the Vietnam War?
Vietnam War depends on when you want to start it, but we start sending people
when
over...
When the U.S.
Yes, it was a French war at first. But Eisenhower sent people over, but it really becomes what we think of as the Vietnam War after the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which is in 1964. So 64, 65 is when it starts rationing up. Then Ford pulls us out in 74, and then the fall of Saigon happens and all that stuff. But so it goes from the mid-60s until the early 70s. No, it's shorter than the Iraq or the Afghan war. The difference is how many Americans went and they were injured and died. And I mean, something like 2 million Vietnamese, which is, we weren't far off with Iraq, where Bush goes, well, it was, I don't know, 500,000-600,000 people. And you're just like, you said the quiet part loud, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
But I will ask, you asked today who that action equivalent is.
Yeah.
It's Liam Neeson.
Mm. That's a good point.
Well, because like...
Craggy-faced and kills people.
Craggy-faced, doesn't make jokes in his movies.
Nope.
He can punch if he has to, but a lot of it's like that gung-fu thing.
No, John Wick style, yeah, okay.
Because
okay.
He'll punch a guy, and then he has the gun behind him to do the final blow.
Right.
But like... There's 12 of those Taken movies, and then all of his other movies are like, Taken, but it's on a train this time. Mm. Taken, but he's fighting wolves, or whatever that movie was.
Yeah, the Liam Neeson renaissance, it starts with Taken, and now he's like grandpa action hero in like 10 movies.
Well, but that's what it is, right? Because we're watching a movie when he was 45, and that's at the beginning of his shitty movie career. So he made, what, 6 of these? So he's already in his 50s by that point. Walker, Texas Ranger, he was by his late 50s.
He was kicking some high kicks.
Yeah, because 50s. before Taken, last thing I remember Liam Neeson in was, he was the voice of Aslan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. Liam Neeson was Academy Award winner because he was Oscar Schindler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was always around. I want to go back to Chuck Norris. You guys might be more familiar, but he was, you said, Nick, he was a student of Bruce Lee.
Yeah, the dude can actually do.
Yeah.
And so if you watch some of his 70s movies, they're all like rip off of Bloodsport, where it's like, it's effectively a martial arts kind of tournament, and the dude can fight. Like, and I wish I was half that flexible.
Not even half, a third.
A dude. Watching Jean-Claude Van Damme and him like do flying split kicks, I'm just like, my taint would tear in half. Like, I don't know how.
Thinking about it, my taint tired.
Right? You're just like, ooh. Ooh. I mean, this movie, based on Matt's description, if you figured out the plot, you're right. Like, there's no twist in this plot. And so, like, we're introduced kind of to his ensnarement, his prison, his torture, him being hung up by his wrists and bleeding like Matt, like they cut to his feet and there's blood running down his pant leg. You know,
very someone call Quentin Tarantino.
It is very funny. It is funny.
It's weirdly how feet into feet, I mean, he is.
His feet look incredible.
Quentin's or Chuck's?
Oh, Quentin's feet are terrible. I'm talking about Chuck's.
Oh, okay.
These are like some serious Chuck's.
Yeah. I found out too late in the game.
But he's like, obsessed so, with feet. The plot is as simple as we thought, so we'll go through that second. But at first, we should just mention, as Matt said, there's these torture sequences. If you totaled them up, this movie is like 100 minutes with the credits. Mm-hmm. So it's like 93 minutes flat. It moves at a clip. Right. 20 of these minutes are flashbacks to one degree or another. And so we see him being captured. We see him and his men. He's captured with a group of men. We're told later they're executed one by one because of his war crimes. Which, here's the thing. I know we're supposed to like Chuck Norris, but we're also not given any evidence that he didn't commit war crimes.
In the sequel, it was revealed that they made him sign it to give medicine to one of his soldiers who was dying.
Well, right, but we don't get that here.
Yeah. So you just assume.
Because he's Chuck Norris, well, and everyone else is a minority.
Well, one of the Vietnamese people they bring in to accuse him is quietly apologizing, so it's kind of hinted they're being made to say that.
Which is after another flashback. Like, so we have this chunk that's flashbacks, and it cuts back and forth. The main plot, we introduce him as Braddock, Captain Braddock, and he is in... He's coming down from something, right? Mm. He's in this hotel room where there's nothing on the walls. The news is on. And they're talking about the POWs and how there's a group of senators coming, or a senator coming. And Braddock, the leading expert on the fact, the leading person arguing that there's still POWs there, is not attending, not attending. And then he throws the TV and it turns to dust.
Mm.
And
a tube, if you will.
Yes.
Yes.
And he shows up and he goes, "I'm going on your mission." And that's the most he emotes the entire movie. The whole thing is that the government of Vietnam is denying it, mainly through this guy played by James Hong, we mentioned earlier, called General Tran.
Okay, you got his name. I just called him, General Jerkass, the entire Twitter rant.
I mean, he's James Hong. He's nailing it. And we're introduced earlier to a bigger guy with a beard who is the torturer.
Yeah, I call him Sergeant Jerkass.
I noticed a theme with your insults.
Well, there's the guy they bring in at the end, Comrade Doth Protest Too Much, because he's yelling and screaming about how there are no live prisoners, and then Chuck Norris kicks down the door and brings a bunch of them in. Spoilers.
Yeah, General Tran. That's
how I think General Tran died. I thought General Tran...
Oh, right. He's the one who gets stabbed through the neck. You're talking about there's an ambassador and the Secretary of State.
Yeah, because Chuck Norris kills him in his bed after sneaking into his house. And he just happens to know where all the prisoners are. Half this movie, I was wondering if they were setting up some kind of elaborate trap for him.
That's what I thought. I'm like, no. This is a stupid canon movie. No plot twist. We don't want anyone confused by the end of it.
Because I think at the very end, they kind of pull something where it turns out they take all the American prisoners somewhere else. So we're left with, I guess, some South Vietnamese guys getting re-educated instead.
They're also taken exactly 7 seconds before Chuck Norris arrives. They've known of him being there for days. At best, we can tell General Tran died days ago. And they moved them, what did they say, 2 hours before they arrived?
The right hand does not know what the left hand is doing here, because if I were the Vietnamese, I'd have a whole army waiting for him there.
You could do anything.
And because they clearly know what he's up to, because half this movie is him fighting assassins in Bangkok.
I'm trying to figure out who the number two is. And there aren't any good options.
The number two...
The guy with the beard who was doing the torturing. The problem is everyone else has a Hispanic name. So is it Ernie Ortega playing the guy we're talking about? Or Sabatini Fernandez?
There's Avia Kalberger? Berger?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. You should...
I'm doing the best I can. I'm following along. Emmett Walsh shows up at one point to be a belligerent motherfucker. I love old man Emmett Walsh.
Yeah, he's some army buddy of Braddock's who sort of let himself go a bit, and he's living in Bangkok with a bunch of Asian kept women running a bar or something.
For those of you who don't know who he is, he was in previous episode Critters recently. He's playing the bumbling sheriff. He's also in the Coen Brothers movie Blood Simple, and he's in the Steve Martin movie The Jerk, and in one of... friend of the show Daniel's favorite movie is Blade Runner as well. The man has 237 credits, so half as many as James Hong and still far too many.
You should know this. Which Blade Runner exactly is he?
The original one.
Not the director's cut?
No, remember when they come across the old man inventor?
Yeah.
He's that guy.
Huh.
Yeah, Bryant.
Bryant.
I love old Emmett Walsh because he's he's been drinking all day, and he's kind of surly, and that's his acting, right? He's just Well, I could get you that gunboat.
But at one point, Chuck Norris breaks into his room and he's in bed with two naked Asian chicks. So no one seems happy to see him.
Nobody would.
If someone busted in and they were boning someone, you'd be like, hey, how you doing? They wouldn't be happy to see you.
I wouldn't either.
Especially if you broke their door. Two things.
Especially if that person took Viagra. That's a waste of pill, too.
Dude, he's so old. He only gets up when, you know, that joke was inappropriate.
It's okay. I can say
I made a much worse joke on the Danger Island episode.
Tell me the joke and I'll repeat it.
He only gets up when a black person talks about Black Lives Matter.
Wow. Wow.
He's an old white man. What do you think?
That's racially accurate.
Oh, we're gonna make America great again.
No, do you want to? Do you know what's actually something funny? I actually went to. This is super off topic since you just mentioned it, and I'm running out of things to say.
Sometimes the rails are just gone.
No, so I went to a Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock show in Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, that went great.
And so of course,
wait, how long ago was this?
This was about a month ago. It's not that far along.
Okay, so I saw them together on tour, but it was years ago.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When were you in Alabama? How long ago was this?
No, this was like we literally drove to Alabama. Yeah, okay. And of course, they made January 6th jokes. And I was very uncomfortable how people weren't laughing the same way I was laughing at racial jokes. You know what I mean? Just like, because I was surrounded only by white people.
We went to it when we saw him. Chris Rock was the surprise guest.
Okay, yeah.
Because he was in town filming something. And so, you know, Chappelle's coming to town. He's just reaching out to local comedians.
Right.
There was a local guy who actually opened. And then his opener was Jon Stewart of The Daily Show. And then there was
This was in Atlanta?
This was at the Tabernacle.
Oh, wow.
And so it was Chappelle. Chris Rock did it, like I said, a short set. There was like six people. And then Jon Stewart did like a Daily Show-esque interview of all the people on it.
Yeah.
Good show.
That's a good show.
But again, it was like 6 or 7 years ago. This is when I knew Chappelle from Chappelle's show.
Yeah.
And then his other like, and then watched his stand-up at the time. But he was the local guy in Ohio because
he's from Yellow Springs.
When he got the hell out of there.
Yeah.
He went to Southeast Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So like, there were just stories of him being at like the crazy grocery store.
Right.
Jungle Gyms were just like, did you see Chappelle there? I'm like, no, man, but he was at Skyline. You know, like he's eating chili. Because that's just what he was. He was just local guy done good in that part of Ohio. Him and John Boehner. But anyway.
Chuck Norris.
He's missing from this conversation.
Yes, he is.
Like we're missing the action.
Because there's a... Okay, he's, as you mentioned earlier, he comes off the plane. He's rude to General Tran, who then springs a bunch of people who accuse him of being a war criminal. And then at some embassy dinner later, General Tran keeps twisting the knife, like asking him about, oh, these soldiers all died because of your war crimes or something like that, in front of this woman who's like the senator's aide, who is not really a love interest. So Chuck Norris sneaks out of the hotel and shoves a knife in him.
I will say, too, this we mentioned who he's like. This to me, you mentioned he doesn't swear. It's kind of like The Rock as well, because The Rock also doesn't have love scenes, right? He's strong, he's charismatic, but he doesn't bone down. And so the only time he's like, which is different for action stars at the time, Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, I have saved you, and your panties have disappeared.
Chuck pretends to.
He gets into bed with her, but it's just subterfuge to be like, I've been here the whole time making love to this woman. And that's kind of what it is. So she is, like you said, kind of the love interest, but not really. I think she finds him interesting. She finds him charming.
It's that, it must be that man pelt, because she invites him over to drink and he's taking his clothes off and she's like, hey, I didn't invite you for that. And then he starts putting his commando gear on.
Yeah.
She's like,
first of all, she 100% invited him for that. You just have to actually have the drink first before you're just like, you know, I felt like getting naked. My balls are chafing. Nothing. Hey, girl.
My balls are chafing?
Oh, girl. Like an old man at a gym. It's just...
He's hanging loose.
Hanging loose.
Do you think Chuck Norris got a lot of pussy?
I think he did in the 70s, but this page boy haircut that he has is really...
I think that was part of the debauchery. I think he had a son that someone he wasn't married to.
He's married twice. He has four kids. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about. I looked this up earlier.
I heard Chuck Norris lost his virginity before his dad.
Straight out of 2006.
Hey, oh, I'm actually, I got a list of jokes. I just
okay,
want to
you
tell.
Know what? That's a good question. Yeah. Who's a better actor, Chuck Norris or Vin Diesel?
I think Vin Diesel.
I say Vin Diesel.
He works it better. I'll give it to him. But like, he's stuck in the same Chuck
actually,
Norris rut.
You know what?
Is he the modern day Chuck Norris?
He is the modern day Chuck Norris because he can't die.
The only difference is.
Oh my God! You solved it.
Well, I will say the difference is Liam Neeson is in a lot more stupid movies. Vin Diesel does like a movie a year, but you imagine shitty movies like this, there were two or three a year. That's more Liam Neeson, because I bet you when you look him up on IMDb, there's six like straight to video, like streaming only nonsense that you haven't even heard of.
That's very
this
true.
Time it's Taken, but someone stole his dog, but it's not John Wick, it's John Thicke.
John Thicke. Bendy.
Blurred Lines. Oh, that's Robin Thicke.
That's Robin Thicke. There's too many Thicke.
So, someone took Robin Thicke. So Liam Neeson has to get him back.
Oh shit, son.
Yeah.
It's like the bodyguard.
I mean, speaking of
Kevin Costner, Whitney Houston.
Yeah. Only it's Robin Thicke's been kidnapped, and so. Some reason they actually want him back.
Chuck Norris.
So they want him back for some reason. They send Liam Neeson. Because he has a very particular set of skills.
There was a critic parody of that Bodyguard movie. It was Bodyguard 2. And he's saving the three tenors. So there's just three fat guys. And he's doing the same scene where he's trying to carry them in his arm.
Oh my God.
And they crush him. And he goes, "This guy can't carry a tune." Oh wait, he's dead. And they do the "I'll Always Love You," the Dolly Parton song.
Yeah,
but they do it as a three-part harmony, and it's just like, and he's like straining. God help me, the critic. Best show.
Yes, it was. Okay, so after the fake nookie.
Yeah, so he's walking down the hallways. He's got a bottle of champagne. He changes up because there's. The two least subtle spies in the world, like, "What are you going?" Like, yeah. It's Boris and Natasha from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Only they're both ripped.
Well, we find that out later, but meanwhile, it's a scene from the Bond movie, Live and Let Die. They're just Asian guys with like collar, no tie, and they're just peering around the fucking corners. Like this.
And the hotel is surrounded by uniformed Vietnamese soldiers. So how is Chuck going to get out of this?
Well, so
he's
this
a
part
ninja.
Is played. Yes. There's two things going on here, and it turns out they're related because, of course, they are. It's not a complicated movie. But this is where the senator's staying, so they're putting him under extra security because there's a U.S. government representative here. And they may have made a Jonestown joke. I'm listening to it. But again, we don't want a congressman killed in our country because then the U.S. will come back. Right? Like, that's what they want. But what they're actually doing is watching Chuck Norris, and they have these two dudes in plain clothes who are like spies out of a cartoon. And they're watching him constantly. He has the champagne flutes and he has the champagne bottles and they're watching him. There were listening devices in every one of these rooms. You know where they're going to be in advance. Just put listening devices in the fucking room. Meanwhile, he dresses like a stupid ninja. And I say stupid ninja because he's just wearing a black shirt and black pants. Like, there's nothing.
That's all he got to do. And he got some white ass arms. Be good.
And he is the whitest ass we've seen so far.
Oh, yeah.
And he climbs down the side of the building, kills three people immediately by breaking their neck, right?
This is a Metal Gear Solid stuff. Like, you can't be seen. So he's just kind of skulking around in all these complicated ways.
And then he just appears in the general's bedroom, which we don't see how he gets into.
He got over the fence. That's one of the people whose neck's broken. Then he kills one of the patrolling guys.
Yeah.
And then he gets into his house.
Well, right. But there's guards outside the door we don't see. Right? Because
when the general pulls a gun on him.
Well, we should get there first. He puts a knife under the general's throat and says, "Close your eyes." He goes 8 miles from the coast, or eight kilometers. A click is a kilometer, for those of you who don't know. He's 8 kilometers from the coast at this city. That's where they are. Chuck goes, "I'll let you live." For some reason, he pulls a gun on him, and Chuck throws the knife directly through his heart. And say goodbye to the movie James Hong. He probably had to make three more that same day. Then the guards who are stationed at the door break down the door and start shooting. So we don't know how Chuck got in, but he gets out, I assume, the same way by jumping through the window, which is pretty cool. And you know, again, this is canon, so it might have been him doing his own stunts or just the lower actor down the totem pole that they just fucking threw through an actual glass wall. We don't hear about Timmy too much more.
Timmy. That's what happened. That's why Timmy is the way he is, because he had brain damage from being chucked out the window.
He has the old cannon shard of glass in his brain. His skull never fully merged, so when we threw him through that window, he just forgot everything. And now he's just a best boy. Cannon protects his own.
So, honestly, so do you think, compared to the sequels, does this hold up?
This is the one that's a movie, because the other ones get stupider and stupider and
The second one, it seems it's a lot more simple. He's in prison. He breaks out of prison. The third one, he goes back to Vietnam to find his son with his dead Asian wife, who isn't dead.
Right.
And it's like an issues movie about Vietnamese orphans.
When did he get an Asian wife?
He must have just brought it up in the third movie. Because the third movie is an issues movie. It's about Amerasians.
Is the Asian wife American, or is it someone he met in Vietnam?
Someone he met in Vietnam.
So that makes sense. It doesn't fit in the original two movies then.
I like the second one.
I have nothing against it, but that's...
The third movie, it lost money. I think at that point they were taking it to the well too often.
They should have gone the Rambo route. So the first one's a movie.
Yeah.
Because it's about veterans coming home being not welcome.
Okay, yeah.
The second one, he goes back to Vietnam. The third one, he goes to Afghanistan and helps the Mujahideen. That's where that movie happens. And right. So the people he trains becomes Al-Qaeda. And at the time, Rambo 3 had the most kills on screen. Did we do that movie for the podcast or just Cineprov? Rambo 3.
I don't remember seeing it.
Oh my God, we have to do that movie.
If it was done for Cineprov, someone we all would make some kind of comment and I'd probably have a stroke.
It was me, Evan, and Jacob, his buddy from the comedy troupe. You should see their comedy troupe. They've been putting out videos for a while. This is their first recorded show. But anyway, so we've talked about this all over the place. He gets Emmett Walsh, who's banging a bunch of ladies. Bar fight.
Yeah, I think he gets the diplomatic immunity treatment because they can't exactly arrest him because he's part of the diplomatic party, so they kick him out of the country. So he goes to Bangkok.
As most people do.
You're not talking about... You've switched to Chuck Norris.
Well, that's how Chuck Norris gets to Bangkok and meets M. Emmett Walsh.
Yes, but you didn't say that. So I was like, M. Emmett Walsh was part of the diplomatic corps? I was confused.
Well, who's supplying them with the cocaine?
M. Emmett Walsh looks like what I imagine Jimmy Buffett looks like now. He just washed up on some tropical beach and now is the king of the part of the town he's in.
Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah. And he's wearing the Hawaiian shirts, so it's kind of Indiana Jones, too. Anyway.
I commented, this is when Chuck Norris steps into a showing of Miss Saigon.
Didn't they make a Mr. Saigon joke? No, I was listening to something about assassins. I'm all over the place today. How are you?
I'm here.
Our next movie, I
am very lost as too.
It's not like our next movie makes more sense. Stay tuned for an episode on Crocodile Dundee.
All right,
that's not a podcast. This is a podcast.
An Academy Award nominated picture, best original screenplay.
It's part of a whole Australian new wave cinema. There's actually a thing.
It was because that's when we get Mel Gibson. The Mad Max movies are around the same time.
Did he come out with an Australian accent, Mel Gibson?
Yeah, watch the Mad Max movies.
Okay, I'll watch the Mad Max. Because the first one was
Lethal
Weapon.
When he
really
focuses on his anti-Semitism, it disappears.
Was it anti-Semitism, though?
For Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Look up Sugar Tits.
Well, no, Sugar Tits, I think, was a cop.
That's when the anti-Semitism came out.
Yeah.
He then decided he blames
the Jews for his parking ticket or something. And
he gets pulled over for drinking and driving, and then he suddenly decides to treat the officer to a discussion about how the Jews cause wars.
Yes. Mm. You know, like you do. You know what cops want to hear. Maybe he was trying to get on their side.
Maybe.
Based on what they just released about Louisville.
Was it that surprising?
Was it surprising that Mel Gibson was an anti-Semite?
Yes. Was it surprising that Louisville cops were racist?
No. Okay, we're on the same page. Back to you in the studio.
And back to Chuck.
Back to Chuck. This raw Chuck. Making a burger out of that ass. So the honest answer is he gets on the boats and then we enter a different movie like we alluded to. And by the way, they're trying to stop him from getting to the boat by running him off the road in the slowest of speed chases. Because they're like, we can't afford a stuntman today, so you're driving the truck for real. Yeah. So it's like 10 miles an hour.
After General Chan Tran is dead, the North Vietnamese, well, not the North Vietnamese at this
Vietnam.
Point. The communist Vietnam knows what he's up to, so they send a bunch of agents led by Sergeant Jerkass, who tortured him in the prisoner of war camp, to Bangkok to murder him. And it's a series of fights. At one point, Sergeant Jerkass's crony is firing a rocket launcher in his hotel room.
I also want to mention, too, you were asking about who watched this movie. When we were kids, Matt and I are the same age in school terms. 1994, I was in fourth grade, you were in fourth grade. Bill Clinton, president at the time, cool guy, opens up trade with Vietnam after decades of awkwardness because of the war. Right. And in fact, 20 years after the fall of Saigon, they're trying to make... you know, things happen again. So now a lot of stuff American buys is made in Vietnam. We have a trade alliance, yada, yada, yada. And so the people who don't like Clinton and didn't like what was going on, they're the ones who are driving sales of this. Because that movie came out a decade before where we're still like gung-ho.
Tense, yeah.
Times change. And then this movie starts appearing on things like TNN and like and in videos. And so that's what makes the Chuck Norris thing. This movie was... a big success-ish at the time. It was his biggest movie. It continues the tape. Well, that's why they make him Walker, Texas Ranger in 1994, 95.
Besides, okay, 1994, who was...
That was Reagan was about to get reelected.
So who was like the top hotshot actors of the 80s?
I mean, this is Stallone.
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford's the Indiana Jones at the time, and right. Return of the Jedi is 82.
And Witness.
Yeah, and that's more dramatic.
And Blade Runner.
That's 84 as well. And so, like, we got your Harrison Ford types, and he's a good example because he's in good shape, but he's, like, don't piss off at a bar shape as opposed to, this is the same year, I think, as Commando. Like, Arnold is there, but, like, no, that's the 90s. What's in the 80s? Conan?
Conan like, the Barbarian, yes.
So he's
yes.
ripped, but he's not, like,
makes
acting.
Sense. Yeah, no, I'm saying.
You know, because, who's, oh, it's Mufasa.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones is the bad guy in Conan the Barbarian.
With a mullet.
Oh, dude. And it's the wiggiest wig you have ever seen.
Which one's the one with, what's his name? He was Bond.
Sean Connery,
where he's wearing a red Speedo with
Zardoz.
Was that in the 80s?
That is in the 80s. And that's a...
Stay tuned.
80s was a weird...
It's an art movie. I kind of like it, but you can talk about that for a long time. One of the first lines you hear is, the gun is good, the penis is evil, which both can be evil, but...
They both shoot.
They both shoot. That's true. See? Look, philosophy.
One shoots to create life, one shoots to destroy it.
Oh, dude, it's like the dichotomy. This is my rifle. This is my
circle of life.
One is for fighting and one is for fun.
Which one's for fighting? I'm kidding.
Depends.
I hope
depends on the preferred. Depends on the lady's preferred size.
Oh, they're sword fighting.
They're sword fighting.
Yeah, yeah, sword fighting.
Don't cross the streams, Nora.
Don't cross.
Ghostbusters.
Anyway, I mean.
1984 Ghostbusters.
I mean, you just say every movie came out in 1984. Did you know that Titanic came out in
1984? Oh, shit.
In the meantime, he meets with some arms dealer and does like the Return of the Jedi bargaining trick where he threatens him with a gun to make him lower the price.
That's right. So it turns out General Tran gave him the actual information, and the POWs were actually where he said they were going to be. Who knew? At this point, they have the promise of a rescue helicopter, which we have not seen yet, a military... raft and some pretty heavy artillery, right? And we have the suiting up scene that we will see in Commando 3 years later in 1987. But Arnold, god damn it, that man in a Speedo. But here we have, you know, Chuck Norris going in, exploding a village, and then one of the villagers thanks him.
They're probably South Vietnamese army prisoners being deprogrammed or programmed. Because they end up like, we will fight for our freedom, and you never see them again.
I was going to say, here's the thing. You may be right, and I may be crazy, but none of that is in the movie?
Yeah, I was wondering. I thought I have on my Twitter rant, is this going to be Chekhov's Arvin, Army of the Republic of Vietnam? Because are they going to show up to save the day at the very end?
But that's
no, they didn't.
Well, that's what happens in Rambo 3. Where all the rest of the little Afghans and the Mujahideen show up on horseback at the end. After he's like, we can't wait. They can take too long. And then all of a sudden at the end, they're like, hey, look, it's horsemen. And then a horse takes down a helicopter. And that's...
the horse.
Stallone just picks up a horse and throws him into the
propeller. I really need to watch more 80 movies.
Here's the thing.
Because movies nowadays suck. Unless you're not a superhero movie or something.
That's why you should see Cocaine Bear, at least his original idea.
Yeah, okay.
It's based on real events.
True story.
It's going to be nominated for the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay because it was based on that article.
I hope so.
The Ken Burns special. Cocaine Bear. The picture pans across. So we all know about cocaine.
I want to see Cocaine Shark.
There's a meth gator.
Yeah. There's a meth gator movie that's, I think, the Asylum parody.
I guess this is our generation's Sharknado.
Our generation's E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Our generation 6 years after Sharknado.
Check out our episode on Sharknado.
I thought we did Sharknado 3.
No, I think we did the first one.
It's 3 would be too young of a movie to cover.
We did the original live, baby. It came out that week. We were going to talk about this is before we really had our footing under this well established and balanced show.
Critically acclaimed. Yes.
Anyway, so the end of this, after blowing up an entire village, and again, Matt, you're someone who can live in a world. I'm someone who needs tech.
It's a prison camp. They found those dudes in cages,
and they were being thanked.
And I'm surprised. You know, he blows up half the camp. Did he know where the prisoners were? He would have killed a bunch of them by accident.
Oh no, he would have killed just all of them, and then he would have blamed the Viet Cong and brought their corpses to that press conference. But we're told that the POWs left, and that's why I was confused. Because if he was also a POW, this South Vietnamese guy, why wasn't he taken?
That's a good point, because that's a big loose end. If these are South Vietnamese army guys, they know how to use guns. I was expecting them to follow Chuck Norris into battle.
I mean, that's why I thought he was just a local guy who's like, thank you for killing all these people. Because I was like, how is this guy related? Anyway, so they have to go back to the boat because they're said the princess is in another castle. And what turns out to be 3 guys... This whole movie, 15 innocent people, 15 Vietnamese died to save, it's literally 3 at the end, right?
I think about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Because they're all in the back of one truck.
No child left behind.
That's right. Mm. It's true. Based on the Marine slogan, several children left behind. No, we never leave a man behind, right? Like, that's what you say if you're in a bad war movie. But at this point, like Matt already alluded, they fire a bazooka at the ship, and they're laughing so hard that when this man, this 45-year-old man, very slowly gets out of the water, no one thinks to fire another shot. They're like, oh, only the fat old guy's dead.
Fat old guy died much later than I thought he would. I expected him to die with a boat.
Yeah, he makes it almost to the end of the movie. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
This movie ends like Black Dynamite. If you haven't seen Black Dynamite, which you should, they have this helicopter shot where they're just landing over the Capitol building.
Yeah.
Which is the White House where he nunchucks Nixon.
Yeah.
And then 5 guys who should be concentration camp survivors at this point can somehow bash their way through the armed guards into the conference.
Which, first of all, Matt said a very mild comment, which is like, this was stupid. I'm like, first of all, yes. There's not television cameras here. They're not recording anything. So you've just like, I'm going to spike the camera in front of just guys with guns. The end of this should just be all of them being shot. Or what I thought before, I was like, oh no, this is a canon movie. There's no twists. They were lying to him. The POWs were never there. And this was just an ambush. Because he would have bought it. Like, the idea that you would tell him where the POWs actually were.
Yeah, and you know, if the North Vietnamese, whatever reason, were keeping American prisoners afterward, how many of them actually would know about it? That's like the restart the war level secret.
I guess. Like, we're not told the stakes. We're not told anything here other than Chuck Norris is right, fly that American flag. Like, it's very strange.
I think...
Because the movie ends. It knows that we're going to have questions. And we're like, no, the credits are really rolling. You can't say anything.
Yeah, in the second movie, I think at least tried to explain why they were still keeping them prisoner afterward. Slave labor for an opium farm. Tried to come up with a coherent storyline. Wow.
Well, but, like, they also, like, there's talks of him committing war crimes like he's Lieutenant Callie or something. And, like, none of that is established either. Like... I mean, there were American war crimes. That happened. subtle reference to My Lie I just did. But like, that's not this movie either. Like, there's so many things that they're throwing to see what sticks. It just feels like we could end up anywhere. It could, maybe he's a predator is going to show up in the third act. Like, I would have believed it. But this movie feels oddly political, like it's trying to say something.
Yeah, Chuck Norris and the Predator have like an honor arm wrestling match, and the Predator joins him, and then they overthrow the entire communist government of Vietnam.
You son of a bitch, the Predator. Look, I know I'm doing a commando? Yeah, No, Predator. That's bringing a Predator.
Previous episode.
And Predator 2. Is a Predator 2 is on
and
there.
We did both Predator movies.
We did both Predator movies.
Good movies.
We need to get Arnold on there. Danny Glover gets killed in the second one, I think.
No, he didn't. He survived.
He gets Busey who dies.
Yeah. Gary Busey.
This is right after the accident, so I'm scrambling my brain.
What happened to Gary Busey?
He got a motorcycle accident.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like 30.
Not wearing a helmet.
You know.
So that's why he's like, huh?
He was weird before, but he's kooky now.
Okay.
Yeah, always wear your helmets, everybody.
I always get him and Nick Nolte mixed up.
Dude, PSA time, Matt, you're right. kids, even Tony Hawk wears a helmet.
That's very true.
Don't be a jacket. Like, you will die.
Yeah.
And then you'll end up in one of these movies. Hell, I imagine, is just being in one of the movies we've talked about.
Absolutely.
Living in that world.
Absolutely.
I mean, Death Wish 3, even, like, my God, you're in that apartment complex. Oy. Like, it's just, that's what it is. Being in this movie would be very, very silly. I wonder where, I love how, I don't know if any of this was filmed in Vietnam, but some of it was at least filmed in, like, a little Vietnam, where, like, the shop fronts looked right, things were happening. But then I just love how it would occasionally cut to a golf course in Beverly Hills where it's just like, hey, there's also palm trees here, but this water that you're coming in, this is just a water hazard. Like, this is nothing.
Chuck Norris wrestles an alligator for America.
For America. That's right.
They filmed in an Air Force base.
In Vietnam?
These are foreign... Hold on.
I really doubt Vietnam would let them.
Villamore Air Base, Zogaria, Bulacan, Manila.
Manila?
Manila. Yeah, that's
the Philippines.
Okay, so yeah.
So probably they were in the Philippines. I'd buy the Philippines.
I've never seen Manila spelled out. I've only heard it. I said Manila.
Like the envelope?
Like the envelope.
A Manila envelope?
The Manila. No. I know what color it is, but I don't know how to spell it.
This is a conversation.
This is a conversation. Yes.
He's my friend. My buddy, Noor.
You're Padawan, since he was your student, technically.
Still am the student. Still teaching.
Learning from the master.
Yes.
I'm wearing a shirt. I was going to see if it was a tie-dye shirt I made. It was not.
No.
I don't consider it.
Have you had that shirt since 1963?
No. Like a year.
Even though you were born in 1984?
Again, let's have the Nick Hoffman facts.
Born in 1985. Nick Hoffman, he's a Leo. He's a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Those aren't funny, though. He's born in 1984 and also in 1963.
I am timeless. Like the wine we are drinking, which actually has a very specific date on it.
2018.
The best.
Kirkland.
Anyway, we could wrap this up. Matt, what were your final thoughts on this?
It was oddly unexciting. There's a much better Save the MIAs movie called Uncommon Valor with Gene Hackman.
You mentioned that a couple
I think
times.
That's better than
it,
this.
Is it an action movie or is it a drama? Yeah,
it's an action movie.
Okay.
I think there's much more heart to it, like he's trying to find his son. But this makes more sense.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about it, but we don't know who these POWs are, right?
No, I maybe they're from his unit that was being enslaved by the drug lord or something,
well,
but
right,
I don't know.
But we were told that every other member of his unit died.
Well, of course General Tron would say that.
No, but he said it, right? Because like that was the war crime he agreed to, that like you were silent while all 10 of your members of your group died, right? So, and you refused to just sign the document, that's why they died. That's what we're told. Which also, if that's the case, why did the senator allow him to even come on this trip?
because anything you say when you're a prisoner of war, you can't trust. They probably got some stuff stuck on your fingernails.
Yeah, but if you know this guy has a vendetta, you're not the one he bring, right?
Well, no one in this movie seems to be competent. The only reason this works is because the communists are dumber than Chuck Norris.
Yeah, they tell him the truth. The reason is they tell him the truth. Norm, what are your final thoughts?
It just had Chuck Norris in it, and it wasn't a movie. But I would like to take this time to say some of my favorite Chuck Norris jokes.
Please.
All right. Chuck Norris once won a game of Connect Four in three moves. Chuck Norris' tears can cure cancer, but too bad he doesn't cry. Chuck Norris's roundhouse kicks can be seen from outer space with the naked eye. And finally, as I alluded to this, Chuck Norris lost his virginity before his father did. Think about that. You know what? When this movie comes on again, I'll watch it. And that's the only thing I can say about that.
I mean, it's still a canon movie. It's just, I'm kind of like, Matt, I wish it was like 30% more outrageous. Right? Like, we did Bloodsport 3 for Cineprov or whatever. You could blow up an entire building. Like, this movie could have so much more. And maybe it's just that Chuck Norris doesn't have that kind of charisma I want. But this movie, like, it took so long to get going. It's fine. I don't disagree with what you're saying. Like, if it was on TV and you just pick it up halfway through, I'm like, yeah.
Well, it's the fact that I know about this movie, and I know there's sequels to it. I just want to see if there's things that I missed. The second one's good, though.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it's Chuck Norris. Like, he's in 50 of these movies, and I'm sure you've seen him float across your screen before.
Absolutely.
Man can actually do the physical stuff. He just isn't that charismatic of an actor.
Yeah.
Walker, Texas Ranger is better as a whole. So that's it. We're out of time. But thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting all that we do. Thanks for being here while we talk about it. And also, if you haven't done it yet, leave us a review wherever you leave reviews, because we like reviews and it helps bring attention to the show. Because if you like stuff, other people who you like things you like will see it as well. Next week, we're going lighter. We're doing something a little bit silly. And we're bringing back a friend of the show, Tom Hanks. As we talk about his 1984 movie as well, Splash. Thanks, guys.
Season 9 of Myopia Movies is produced by Nick Hoffman and Daniel Suttis. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman and stars Daniel Suttis and Matt Quinn. The theme music is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod of Incomtech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and review us wherever podcasts are found. Thanks, guys.